some of you do Burger King commercials and Coke commercials. You can quote them, you can sing them, but when you're in a pinch, you don't know where to go to in the Word of God to cut the devil in half. No wonder you're defeated.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians often ignore one of our most powerful resources when trials and temptation come along.
If you don't know how to utter the Word of God, take it and use it when you need it, you're wasting your time.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. You wouldn't think of leaving home without your clothes on, but many believers go out into the world spiritually naked on a daily basis. Let's join Dr. Evans in Ephesians chapter 6 as he explains how to suit up for a showdown with Satan.
Paul is concerned in Ephesians chapter 6 that believers are equipped with the armor of God. Why do we need God's armor? I'll tell you why. You are fighting angels. The worst person in your life is not your problem. They're only the vehicle through which the angels are getting to you. You can't use human tools and win a spiritual war. He says that you must use the armor of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18 that we do not look on the seen, but we look on the unseen. We fight an invisible war against an invisible enemy in an invisible sphere, but it affects us in our earthly realm. This cunning is so crafty, it's called the wiles of the devil. It's called the schemes of the devil. He is cunning. He has underground mines that you don't know are there, and you step on them, and all of a sudden they explode. And what does God want you to do? He wants you to, two words, stand firm. He wants you to stand firm. Now, why would he tell you to stand firm in a war? Don't you want to go out and fight in a war? Don't you want to go out and win? Don't you want to storm the enemy's camp in a war? Why would he say, stand firm? He wants you to stand firm because Jesus has already won the offensive victory. That's why I want you to stand firm. You're not in this war to fight to win. You're in this war to take care of the ground already won. Victory has already been won for you at Calvary. That's the problem why we have so many defeated Christians. They're still fighting to win. If you're fighting to win, you're not fighting the battle that Jesus fought, because the battle that Jesus fought was already won at Calvary. We saw that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. He has already embarrassed the principalities and the powers. He's defeated them. So what must you do? Stand firm. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Or to put it another way, you must learn to dress for success. Okay? Now, this is a very interesting set of armor here. Piece number one, the truth belt. If you're going to dress up in Jesus, you need a belt. You need a truth belt. Now, the Roman soldier had this long tunic that flowed down to the ground. But when it came time to fight, he couldn't really maneuver with that thing. So he would tuck that thing up underneath his belt so he would have mobility. The belt had loops on it, which would carry his sword, for example, so he could connect his breastplate into it. Everything else connected to it. Everything else hung on it. In other words, if he didn't have his belt, he couldn't wear his breastplate. If he didn't have his belt, he couldn't carry his sword. If he didn't have his belt, he couldn't hold everything together. What's the belt made up of? It's made up of truth, a standard of reality. Truth. See, the devil is a liar. Jesus said he's a liar from the very beginning. He ferments on lies. So if he can get in an environment where there is no objective standard that will be appealed to, he'll milk it for all it's worth. You must have an objective standard of truth. How does that relate to Christ? John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am truth. So truth is not only a book. It is a book, but it's also a person. It's the written word, and it's the living word. So get up dressed in truth. Second piece of armor, look at it. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what did the breastplate cover? It covered your chest. It hooked into the belt and it covered the chest. You start with truth, then you move to the heart. The Bible says, set your mind on things above where Christ is. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says that Christ is our righteousness. So he's still talking about getting dressed up in Christ. To put on the breastplate of righteousness means to commit yourself to a holy life, predicated on the imputation of righteousness that you receive when you receive Christ. Now, what am I saying? Most Christians don't know what happened when they got saved. Most Christians only know he forgave my sin. No, that's not all that happened. Something else happened when you got saved. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, two things happened. He took away your sin, but he gave you his righteousness. That's called imputation. That is, he credited to your account the righteousness that belongs to Jesus Christ. So you don't get up in the morning saying, I'm just going to be righteous today, because now you done jump back to human effort. You get up in the morning to say, because of Christ, I am righteous today. You start with your position in Christ before you hit your actions for Christ. Because if you start with your action for Christ without understanding your position in Christ, then it's going to be your own human effort with no divine supply. But if you get dressed up in the morning saying, thank you, Lord, that I am clean in Christ, and I use 1 John 1:9, confessing any uncleanness in my life that doesn't reflect my cleanness in Christ, you're going to find your ability to be more holy than you ever were before, because it's based on who you are and not just what you're trying to do. That's why the book of Ephesians spends the first three chapters telling you who you are, and then the last three chapters telling you how to act. Because if you know who you are, you'll have the ability to act like you should act. The reason many of us act like we act is because we don't know who we are. Okay? We eagles hanging around with turkeys. And because we don't know who we are, we don't soar. Some of us have got to get out of that caterpillar thing and become the butterflies we were redeemed to be. And that means your position. That is, get up in the morning, and after you put on your truth belt, Lord, today, your standard governs my life based on your word. I thank you that I am already righteous. So get up and put on your breastplate, because if you don't, you will have an environment where demons can foster. Demons can always foster in an environment of unrighteousness. That is their environment. So if you're in an environment of unrighteousness, they can foster. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can keep the demons from the mosquitoes from fostering in this arena, because he can apply and has applied the righteousness of Christ. So dress up in the morning with the righteousness of Christ. Lord, I thank you that you have already made me righteous, so let me live up to what I already am. Not, Lord, help me don't do this today and help me don't do that today. Lord, thank you, you've already given me victory over this and already given me victory over that. You just dressed up with Christ. Thirdly, the gospel of peace. Notice what he says. He says in verse 15, having already shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, which gives peace. You know what the Bible says, don't you? The Bible says Jesus is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. Christ is our peace. So we're talking about getting dressed up in Jesus again. Christ is our peace. The Roman soldier wore shoes with cleats on them. Why? Sure-footedness. That's why. Sure-footedness. In other words, being able to move about, to march forward without slipping and sliding. Some of us live our lives slipping and sliding, you know? That James Brown thing. Just be slipping and sliding. You know? Every time we step out, we slip. Oops, did it again. Oops, did it again. We don't have any cleats on the bottom of our shoes so that we have sure-footedness. That's what he means by having your shoes with the gospel of peace. When you live on truth and you live in righteousness, The peace of God will guard your hearts. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. And let's deal with a little theology here. There is the peace with God, and there is the peace of God. Many of us want the peace of God, you know, that good feeling of peace, before we've understood the peace with God. Peace with God means that God is now on your side. That's what it means. When you're not a Christian, God is not on your side. The devil is on your side. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins, the devil is on your side. But when you come to Jesus Christ, guess what happens? You now have peace with God, which means that when you get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, that as I start this horrible day in front of me, you are on my side. When that happens, the peace of God, that feeling of peace you want, will begin to take over. Because you started with the understanding that today, as you go through this wicked day that you face, and you're going to face these wicked family members, and you're going to face this wicked job, that God is on your side. So since you have that, you don't need to pop a pill anymore. You don't need to drink that get up juice anymore. You don't have to do any of that anymore. Why? Because God is on my side.
Well, that important truth can change your perspective on the spiritual battle. And Dr. Evans will have more on that in just a moment. But we can't really experience that peace we were learning about until we realize that our physical problems have spiritual roots. Learn how to dig them out with the help of Tony's brand new book, Warfare. It'll empower you to see life's problems for what they are, symptoms of the invisible spiritual battle going on around us. Then he shows you step by step how to work through those problems using God's tools, tactics, and power. And it doesn't matter whether they're the everyday challenges we all face or the more serious attacks that show up in the form of substance abuse strongholds, sexual or emotional problems, relational issues, and so on. We want you to have a copy of Warfare as our gift. Just visit TonyEvans.org before time runs out next week, make a contribution of any size, large or small, and we'll say thanks by sending it your way with all 12 full-length lessons in Tony's current series, Spiritual Warfare. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by around the clock. I'll have that information for you again later on after part two of today's lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
Next, take as you need it. Roman soldiers didn't walk around with the shield. They only walked around with the shields when it's time to fight. Take your shield of faith. Now get this one. With which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery missiles of the evil one. That's deep. Roman soldiers didn't walk around with the shield. They only walked around with the shields when it's time to fight. He says, take the shield of faith. This thing was 4.5 by 4.5. This is a huge thing. It would even cover part of the body of the soldier fighting next to you. So the Roman soldiers would line up body to body, and they will all be covered because the shield was so broad that it covered the whole group as they marched forward. He says, take your shield of faith. Now, why must you take it? The other three you must dress up in every day, all the time. But this one you pick up as you need it. What is then the thing that you're picking up? What is the thing that's going to protect you from everything Satan has ever going to throw at you? It is acting on the truth that you said you believed. Believe it. That's the bell of truth. Act on it as you need it. That's the shield of faith. The shield of faith is when you take the truth that you amened on Sunday and you walk it out on Monday. You know, when Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, God says, now I know this is a heavy enemy out here, but I tell you what, I want you to walk around this thing, you know, once a day for 7 days on 7 days, walk around 7 times. And God says, and I'll take care of the battle. I will fight the battle for you. Now, let me tell you a couple of things about walking around this wall looking like a fool. One is it's embarrassing. Sometimes to do it God's way is just downright embarrassing. You know, you can be embarrassed. I'm out here looking like a fool. God told Naaman, if you want to be cleansed of your leprosy, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Jordan River is a dirty old river. I mean, you want me to go as captain of this army with all these soldiers watching me and dip 7 times? That's embarrassing. And sometimes the act on what God says, where God is going to protect you with his shield from what Satan is going to ask you to do, is downright embarrassing. And sometimes it's dangerous. Can you imagine them walking around the walls of Jericho with the army of Jericho looking down on them? Dangerous. And yet that's with God. And then sometimes it's just difficult. But you said you wanted a miracle. Do you want a miracle or don't you? You can only get a miracle if you act on the truth you say you believe. So that's not something you're doing every day, because all the time you're not faced with that. But when the devil attacks and God says, this is what to do, do it. What the Bible is saying is sometimes it's stupid, sometimes it's embarrassing, sometimes it's difficult, but it'll quench the fiery darts of Satan. Now, what's the fiery darts of Satan? Arrows. But not just arrows, arrows with fire. That is, arrows with flame. Remember the cowboy movies? The wagon train? They go around the wagon train. They'd be shooting at the cowboys, right? But then there'd be this one small like Indian who would dip the tip of his arrow in some oil and set it afire. You know why? Because he wasn't after shooting cowboys. He shot the canvas of the wagon. Why? He says, because you can't fight fire and fight Indians at the same time. He set a fire in order to get them to fight the fire, because you can't fight both. Satan wants to shoot fiery darts at us. He hits us with 3, 4, 5 things at a time, knowing if we focus on one, he can hit us with another. If we focus on that one, he can hit us with another. Anybody have any days like that? He just hitting you all over the place, and they coming all over the place, and you want to know, how can I handle all of this? I got a problem with my husband, problem with my child, problem with my finances, problem on my job. I got attacks coming every which way. How can I extinguish them? Answer, you can, but the shield can. So if you act on what you know, God will be out there with his angelic host as the arrows with fire come on. I'm going. He'll put out all the fiery darts of Satan. Next, the helmet. We're almost through. The helmet. Helmet of salvation. What's the helmet for? The head. Football players wear their helmets in order to absorb the shock of the blows on their head. The helmet of salvation is where you begin, when you are facing a conflict, to take up your position in Christ rather than simply take up the circumstances that you're facing. We got the poor me Christian. Woe is me. Well, this is, well, how you doing? Not good. Under the circumstances. Well, get from under there. Listen to me. Circumstances are bad. I'm not asking you to play like you're not going through a rough time. You're going through a rough time. Say, I'm going through a rough time. But to pick up the helmet is to say, even though I'm going through a rough time, my position in Christ, because of my salvation, because of what he has done for me on the cross, he has given me victory over this problem. So I'm going to face my circumstances from my victory stance, not from my circumstantial stance. We let circumstances become God. And when circumstances become God, God can't be God. So put on your helmet. I'm not saying that you're not in a war. I'm not saying Satan is not trying to bust your head wide open. I'm saying the helmet of salvation is something that can absorb the blow. Yes. Finally, the word of God. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12 says. It is the word of God. It will slice the enemy. Now, this is different than truth. Truth refers to the body of God's truth, the scriptures. But the sword refers to the use of the dagger. One deals with the body, the other deals with its utterance, its use. Many of us walk to church every Sunday with the Bible. We just never get around to using the Bible that we carry. You can have Bible sitting on your coffee table, on your mantelpiece, by your bed, and it never becomes a sword, and it never cuts the devil in half. This is the word rhema, word that means the utterance. It has to do with that which is declared. Satan tried to attack Jesus, and Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by word alone. Moses tried to deliver Israel by the sword, but it was the word of God that opened up the Red Sea. Listen to me. Jesus did not dialogue with the devil. He didn't say, devil, leave me alone. Devil, get off my back. Devil, you're no good. Devil, I'm greater than you. He never had a conversation with the devil. He simply said, have you read? It is written. Every time Jesus quoted the Bible, bam, whop, 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 bop, bop, bop. I mean, he couldn't hang with the word of God. Satan loves to hear you talk to him because he knows your word doesn't have any power. Okay, all quote it with me. To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Let's try it again. To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Now everybody at the same time, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Hello? Some of you can quote a hamburger song who can't quote the word of God. No wonder you're defeated in your life. Some of you knew Burger King commercials and Coke commercials, Dr. Pepper commercials. You can quote them, you can sing them, but when you're in a pinch, you don't know where to go to in the word of God to cut the devil in half. No wonder you're defeated. If you don't know how to utter the word of God, use the word of God. Take it and use it when you need it. You're going to be defeated because he can handle your word. He can't handle God's word. And if you never use it, even if you hear it preached, you're wasting your time. He can't hang with the word of God. So let me ask you a closing question. Are you a butterfly who simply drops on a flower and just flitters from flower to flower? Or are you a botanist who has a notebook and a microscope and he analyzes the flower, but the notes may never be opened again? Or are you a bee? Because a bee will dive down in the flower, get the pollen, and then be able to produce some honey.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a personal story to wrap up our time together, so be sure to stay with us. First, though, if you'd like to get a full-length copy of today's message, check with us for details on the lesson titled The Weapons of Authority. And it's just one part of Tony's series on spiritual warfare, a collection you'll find yourself going to often for hope and encouragement during your own personal battles. Don't forget, this powerful 12-lesson series is yours as our thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any amount, along with the brand new book I told you about earlier, Warfare. As always, you can reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to get the details and make arrangements. That's 1-800-800-3222, or visit TonyEvans.org. While you're there, be sure to check out another important tool you can carry with you wherever you go, the Tony Evans Training Center. Think of it as a seminary on your smartphone, tablet, or other device. Among many others, there's an in-depth course on spiritual warfare, complete with interactive study resources, questions, and activities that'll help you understand and apply key concepts. There's also custom content from Tony not available anywhere else, and an online discussion forum where you can get specific questions answered. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center when you visit TonyEvans.org. They say getting things done isn't always a matter of what you know, but who you know. And tomorrow, Dr. Evans explains why there's no limit to what you can accomplish once you know the creator of the universe. I hope you'll join us then. But right now, here's Dr. Evans with a final story to close today's program.
We went on a cruise, and it was the worst storm that the ship had ever been in. 30-foot waves. People throwing up all over the place. My wife got a little upset. She picked up the phone and wanted to speak to the captain. But she's a little ticked off. She said, now what is this man doing? Because see, he could have stayed and waited, but he didn't want to wait because he had to get back because they had another load to pick up, you know, so it was a financial thing. But you know the message that the captain came back with? He said, this is a bad storm, worst we've ever been in, but don't worry. He said, because you have to understand, when this ship was built, it was built with these kind of storms in mind. The storm may be bad, but the ship is seaworthy. Your storms in life may be bad, but the peace of God is seaworthy. It can handle whatever storm you face. The storm is bad, but the ship is seaworthy. Go to bed, because I, the captain, am going to stay up. The Bible says, what are you worried about? Go to sleep. Jesus is going to stay up. He is your peace.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.